Okay, we're starting our meeting now, and Glenn will take a roll call.
Thank you, Chuck. On the call, we have Chuck Gomes, Caroline Greer, Edmund Chun is not on yet, Adrian Kendris, Tim Ruiz.
Yeah. Oh, excuse me, sorry.
Stefan van Gelder.
Yes.
And Terry Davis is not on yet. For the non-contracted party house, we have probably apologies from Zaid Jamil because he's stuck at the Dubai airport and may not be able to call in. We have Christina Rosette, David Taylor.
Hello.
Jamie Wagner.
Hi.
Rafik Damak. Bill Drake. Debbie Hughes. Yeah. And Wendy Salsa, Rosemary Sinclair, and Mary Wong are not on the call as far as I can see. Yet, Olga Cavelli?
Yes.
We have apologies from Andrei Koleshnikov, who is on vacation. Alan Greenberg?
Here.
Han Chan Lee? I don't see him yet. And for staff, we have Ken Bauer, Marika Koenigs, Margie Milam, Liz Gaster, David Olive, Craig Schwartz, Rob Hogarth, Olaf Nordling, Kurt Pritt, and Julie Headland, and myself, Glenda Saint-Jacques. Have I missed anybody?
Yes, Wolf Norman just joined.
Wolf, you've just joined, yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chuck. Over to you.
Thank you, Glenn. Did I hear Craig Schwartz's name on the...
You did indeed,
yes.
He's
there. I see him in meeting view. Okay, I wasn't paying close enough attention. Thank you very much. That's helpful. All right, welcome again to everyone to our 21 April council meeting. Are there any updates to statements of interest? Any comments, questions, or suggested changes to the agenda? A quick note that the minutes for the previous council meeting have been posted and were approved effective 16 of April. So let's now go to item 2 on the agenda, GNSO improvements. We have the final recommendations submitted by the OSC Communication and Coordination Work Team that were approved by the OSC and given to the council for action. As I think most of you will recall, it's the council's responsibility to approve the recommendations. We do not need board approval. We just need to communicate the recommendations to the board and the fact that we approve them. So the first thing that we have to do then, and you can see the link there to the report. Hopefully all of you have had time to read that. Very nice job, I will personally say. And I'd like to ask Julie if she would give us a brief overview of those recommendations. And just to let everyone know, Julie is not going to give a detailed overview because we're assuming everybody read them on their own. Just to cover the highlights. Julie, please.
Yes, this is Julie. Chuck, thank you very much. And good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. I'm going to be very brief here so we have plenty of time for questions. The slides are up in the Adobe room if you'd like to follow along. I'm moving to the first slide, and that's a very brief overview of the background on this. So there were a number of board recommendations coming from the Board Governance Committee's report relating to communications, and these specifically address the issue of the need for more frequent contact and communication between the various structures, the council, constituency, stakeholder groups, board members, and the SONAC chairs. Specifically, the BGC report recommended improvements to the GNSO website, to document management, to the ability to solicit meaningful community feedback, and GNSO coordination with other structures. Moving on to the next slide, there were two aspects to the recommendations coming out of the communications and coordination work team. The first aspect of the recommendations related to the technology recommendations for improvements, and these dealt with the website, document management, and collaboration tools. Specifically for the website, there are recommendations pertaining to content management and sharing, usability of the site, and support for multiple languages. With respect to document management, there are improvements for conducting product searches, and in particular, actually, the work team has recommended that ICANN staff conduct product search, do some reviews and internal tests of these products, and develop a detailed set of business requirements for document management tools. And with respect to collaboration tools, the CCT work team's recommendations there are six separate recommendations relating to calendar tools, wikis, and online discussions and meetings. Moving on to the next slide. So the second aspect of the recommendations relate to communication and coordination. The first of these is pertaining to soliciting community feedback. And the recommendations are to increase feedback opportunities, to link an ICANN website to increase access to information and ease of finding information, summarizing documents, so they can be easily understood, developing an easier document search system, and ensuring consistent localization policies with respect to translation in particular. With respect to board and GNSO communications, recommendation is to articulate and update near-term objectives, particularly for the GNSO, to prepare and post board and GNSO minutes, to develop board GNSO consultation processes, and to conduct periodic calls between the GNSO and with board members. Moving on to the next slide, additional communication and coordination recommendations are the cross-SO and AC communication. And in this area, the work team recommends holding conference calls and meetings to coordinate activities, developing a formal process for seeking input from the SOs and ACs, and maximizing the use of the existing input processes. With respect to time demands and prioritization, the work team suggests that the GNSO begin a process to prioritize GNSO business, and as you know, there is a separate effort that is ongoing with respect to prioritization in the GNSO. And other recommendations from the work team include simplifying complex terminology, making outcomes and objectives from various working groups more clear, and this pertains to ensuring that there are clear charters for working groups and that the goals and objectives from those charters are clear, and providing reminders with respect to standards of behavior where necessary. Thank you very much. That is a very brief overview, as I said. I'm happy to take questions, and that's over to you, Chuck.
Thank you very much, Julie, for a very good and I think helpful presentation just to bring us all up to speed here. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, you may raise your hand in the Adobe Connect room, or you, if that's not possible, you also may just speak up and I will put you in a queue. Is there anyone who has a question, who has a comment? Wolf, go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Chuck. Well, it's more a comment than a question. Because I've followed all of the discussion and the development of these recommendations throughout their work, and I really would like to appreciate the work which has been done, and especially if I look to the that the number of real active members of this group, which was very low really at that time, and it is really highly to be appreciated the outcome of that work. So I just would like to support fully that and would support to implement as soon as possible all these recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Wolf, and I totally concur with what you said. It was a small group, which meant each one of them had to work very hard, and they did. So compliments are definitely in order there. Anyone else like to get in the queue on this particular topic and on Julie's presentation or the report as a whole? If not, then we do have a motion on the table to accept the GNSO improvements. You can see that motion on the screen now in the Adobe room, and, of course, it's on the motions page on the wiki as well. I made the motion, and it was seconded by Olga. So if there's no objections, I'll go ahead and, well, let me, is there any need to read the full motion? Would it be sufficient to just read the resolutions? If no objections to that, I will just read the resolve parts of the motion, and you can see the rest there. The first resolved is the resolve that the GNSO Council accepts the deliverables of the CCT at its as its final set of recommendations and directs staff to commence a 21-day comment period. Can you? I guess I can scroll down on the screen myself, can't I? I always forget that. Commence a 21-day public comment period on the CCT's report. Resolve further, the GNSO Council shall take action on the CCT's recommendations as soon as possible after the end of the public comment period. Any questions or discussions on the motion? All right. Hearing none, does anyone object to a voice vote on this motion? Hearing no objections, all in favor, please say aye.
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 If anyone objects, would you, excuse me, if anyone opposes, would you please state your name? And if anyone abstains, please state your name. The motion carries unanimously. So appreciate that. And just one final comment, a personal comment from me. These particular recommendations, the implementation of them, I think are really critical for the GNSO work that we're all involved in. And this, along with the recommendations that have already been approved for the toolkit of services for constituencies and stakeholder groups, I think are reasons why, some of the primary reasons why I suggested in our last council call, and there's a brief item on today's agenda, to make sure that there are sufficient funds in the budget for fiscal year 2011 to implement these in good manner, because I think they will greatly enhance all of our efforts. So thank you again to the working team that did such a fantastic job. And one of the exciting things at this point, I think we have now one of our five working teams for GNSO improvements has completed its work. So that's a first milestone for the GNSO improvement process that has been going on for years. So that's a nice accomplishment. Thanks to everyone that made that happen. Going on now to agenda item 3, the prioritization of GNSO work. Again, there's a link on the agenda for the recommendations by the work prioritization model drafting team that Olga headed up. And I will turn it over to Olga and Ken, if necessary, to give a brief overview of the recommendations. And again, they're not going to try to go in rigid detail on the recommendations, but rather give a high overview, assuming that everyone has already reviewed these recommendations. Olga, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Jack. First, I would like to start thanking especially ICANN staff who helped us doing this job, especially Ken Bauer and Liz Gasser. They were very important in our work, and also all the working team, but especially those members that were present in every weekly meeting we had since Seoul, which were Jamie, Wolf, Jack, and well, myself. I just helped making the process going on. We prepared a very brief presentation. I hope you had the chance to review the document we sent to the council list days ago. It's not a very long document, but this presentation summarizes the content of it, so I will start. The document has two parts. It's a proposed GNSO operation procedures, Chapter 6, and an annex. We proposed a new text to be added to this procedure. And the sections are first a purpose of the document, the scope of the document, where it defines what's an eligible project and what it's a non-eligible project. And then it's the methodology that it's more explained in detail in the annex. Please, if you have any question, and as I talk, just let me know. I would like to summarize very briefly what is in the annex and the procedure that we are proposing. It has four steps. The first one is to prepare or update a project list, including the existing projects, and then reviewing if there are new projects that could be added or not to this list. This is a process that will be done in between ICANN staff and approved by the GNSO always. And then there will be a process of individual council member ratings. Each council member will rate each project within a scale that it's defined and detailed in the document. I won't go through that detailing explanation, but you can see that in the document. Someone wants to talk? No. We proposed at the beginning 10 days for doing this individual council rating, and then we received some comments that it was a few days for doing this, so we have thought about extending it to 17 calendar days. And then once these ratings are done individually, then there will be it's step three, a special work prioritization meeting, and then deciding which is the final list and public the prioritized project list in the GNSO website. We received, once we sent the document, some comments, which I think were very interesting. Terry was concerned about the 10 days, and so we thought it could be good to have 17, maybe calendar days. If you check the document that it's linked to the presentation and to the agenda, it already says 10 because maybe someone else has another idea. And so we haven't defined that yet, but we think 17 could be a good number. And then Stefan raised a question about having more than one prioritization or only one a year could be maybe few, or we need more. So if I want to point one part of the document, section 632, that says that it is one annual general meeting, but it may be more if it requested by the GNSO and by the chair. So the flexibility of having more than one prioritization meeting a year, it's in the document. So the idea is that we agree on the motion that it's already sent to the council, and it was sent by me and seconded by Jamie. And there is a timetable, a timeline that it's in this presentation. I don't know if you want me to go day by day and explain all of it. I think it doesn't make a lot of sense. But the idea is to make first a first prioritization exercise among us, see if it works, propose the text, if agreed by the council, propose the text for public comment, and then include them in the operating procedures of the GNSO, and then have our regular prioritization exercises. So I think that's mainly the most important issues in the presentation, and it describes the content of the document. I don't know if you have questions or comments. We tried to address the questions that we received in the list. That's Bill. Bill, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, Olga. As we listened to the description of all this in Nairobi, it was a little hard to, you know, parse everything on the spot, and we've since done a little bit of reflection on it and had a discussion of it last night on our monthly NCSG call, too. And some questions have arisen that have just been unclear in our minds. Maybe you could help us address them. I have, in particular, I'm looking at an email right now that Avery just sent asking, crystallizing some of the points we discussed. Let me just try a few of these and see if you have responses to them real quickly. On the priority question, how it would work, if the prioritization is done once a year, what happens with the priorities when new issues come up during the year that have not been thought of during the planning session? They can come up in a variety of ways. The board sends the council a problem, or one of the ACs initiate a request for an issue report, some event occurs, whatever. How do the new work items get scheduled? Is there a queue and the new items are put in the queue, or do they wait there in turn? Do things move up as work is completed on other stuff and so on? So how does the process get recalibrated in light of new things coming up was the first sort of question that we weren't real clear on.
Thank you, Bill. The process is flexible, so there may be more prioritization sessions that could be conducted more frequently, as I'm showing in our presentation. This is included in the document, and it depends on how the projects appear and how we cannot include all what can happen in the future in one document, but it's open to more flexibility than more than once a year. Ken, I don't know if you want to add something.
Ken, why don't you talk a little bit about the steps in the process that actually deal with that, because we did cover that in the recommendation.
This is Ken Bauer. Good morning. The first step, well, we want to make a differentiation between doing a prioritization of an existing set of projects and the ongoing sort of management of the workload. And so this whole procedure really deals with the act of creating the priority list and the ranking. When new projects come up, there's a couple of options that we've provided for here. One is that if the project is significant and needs to be prioritized before action is taken, then a prioritization session can actually be executed at the chair's call, and that's provided for in the procedures, and that project can then be slotted so that we know, or the council knows, where it ranks among all the other projects that are already there. If it's considered not significant enough, meaning it's not going to change the question as to whether the work should be undertaken or not, for example, then it can wait until the next scheduled prioritization. Let me just pause there and see if I'm getting close to the question.
Yes, you are. We just weren't entirely clear. Can I ask a couple of other follow-ups that are, I think, related real quick, just to move this quickly? The question was raised, if the board said that the council do this immediately or in 60 days type of message, do we drop everything else? And what happens with the PDP initialization process? I.e., does a new PDP need to be in the priority queue before it's approved, or do we just begin work or what?
Yeah, this is Ken again, just hearkening back to what I said a minute ago. There are sort of two facets of this whole managerial process. One is the creation of a priority list that guides action, and that's what this subject is about. The question that you're asking about is sort of what happens when something emergency comes up and we have to drop everything, or do we drop everything? That's the managerial question that this prioritization procedure is not intended to address specifically. So if the board came out with something, this has to be done immediately and it's the highest priority, maybe the prioritization exercise would rank it number one. But the question as to what else gets dropped is a separate question that these procedures do not attempt to address.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. There are some other questions, but I don't know if I should belabor the point.
Go ahead, Bill. If you've got questions, I think it's important to ask them.
All right. The question was posed, can work on some issues be discontinued because a more important issue is raised? What happens in those cases? Do we just kind of recalibrate on the fly? Does the method allow for, I'm not quite sure I understand this question, the deltas to the priority list, e.g., okay, this goes up to the top of the list, or does a whole new list need to be worked out each time reprioritization is considered? Does the process lend itself to a method by which new work is not started unless old work is completed? What does it mean to be lower on the priority list? The work is not done. These are, again, just sort of ambiguities that people were struggling with.
Yeah,
any of those that you...
This is Ken Bauer again. And several of those questions, I think, do ask really important or deal with really important issues around how does the prioritization list get utilized in the course of normal business, right? Once we have a project and it's ranked number 12 out of 15 or something, what does that mean to us? If a new project comes in and it bumps that one down from 12 to 13, does that have any significance? Does the work stop? All of those type managerial questions, this team pushed those, but it did not attempt to try to address that kind of managerial. But they're very important, and it was recognized in the letter and in the presentation that Olga just gave. These are issues that need to be addressed down the road. Now, with respect to does a whole new prioritization have to be done each time a new project comes up, I sort of hinted at that a minute ago, and the answer is not necessarily. If I think at least once a year, and maybe more often, the council would look at the entire project list and do a complete ranking and create a prioritization. In the interim between those formal sessions, it's possible to just rate an individual project and slot it, as long as the council has a kind of collective memory as to what it did the last time. Right. So, and this will become a little clear after we go through this exercise one time.
Did that help?
Okay.
Anything you need to pursue further in those questions?
No, I'm fine, and I'll pass along those answers. Thanks, Ken.
It's Adrian. Can I get put in the queue, please?
Yes, Adrian. I have you after Jamie and
Wendy.
Go ahead, Olga. You can take charge again.
Okay, Jamie, you have a question or a comment?
No, it's just a comment to an addition and a reminder. Clarify things on what Bill had asked. And I would like to read the part of the email that was sent with the conclusion of the work. And it reads that the drafting team believes that prioritization is an important first step of the council's broader project management role, which should be further defined and will require appropriate tools to assist in the active, effective management of the workload. So we devised that this is the first necessary work, but it's just, I would say, the point of the bigger iceberg. a process of managing projects, and this, that should be defined further. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jamie. I was going to point the same. So this is the first step to a more bigger process. Thank you, Jamie. Wendy, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm concerned about the interaction between this process, which seems quite complex, and the work of the CCT team, which seemed to be recommending against adding complexity and further detail into processes, because I see lots of steps here, and I worry that this adds sort of another layer of only semi-transparent process to how something happens and goes through council and to the time that counselors have to spend in reviewing materials.
Thank you, Wendy. I know it does. You're done?
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. I know it looks complex, but if you read it step by step, it is not very much complex. It just added the chance by each counselor to rate each project, which I think it's an interesting part of the process. And then it addresses a general council meeting for reviewing that rating. I personally don't think it adds a lot of complexity, because if you analyze all the steps, it's one part of it, which is preparing the list. It's something that we already do every time we review the list of projects and how they are evolving. So this is not a new. And the new addition would be the rating individually and the council level. But I think it's an interesting exercise for the whole council and for involving all the council members, especially the new ones that may be more at the beginning, not so familiar with all the projects that are being done by the council, which are a lot. So that's what I want to say. Maybe someone else in the working team want to add something.
Yes, this is Jamie. May I? I would like to comment what Wendy said, is that this process is not an ongoing process, but I would say that it doesn't add complexity to the work and to the ongoing work of the council. Instead, I would say that it clarifies to every council member, and mainly it is very usable to the new members to get along and understand the whole ongoing processes that are already complex. So it's a tool to understand and to clarify and make it more transparent, and not a tool to make things more difficult. Maybe you are having a first impression always we have a first impression to everything that is do that it's too much complex, but once it is the only thing that I think is added here is the need for a special first prioritization meeting that would take I think 2 hours. This is the only additional workload on us, and once we have done this first step, I think, and once you participate in it, Wendy, I'm sure that you will see that things get much easier to get along with and to understand the whole process of and to have a bigger vision of the ongoing work that is on the responsibility of the council. That's it.
So if I could follow up, thank you, and just a quick follow up. My particular complexity concern is around what happens with the rankings once we've given them, and have we analyzed the strategic behavior? It's nice to assume cooperation, but we know that there are plenty of places where people behave non-cooperatively. So what are the opportunities for people to add ones and sevens or bargain about their positions with a group of others to disrupt the rankings rather than to behave cooperatively?
Thank you, Wendy. We did some exercises among us. You're right. Someone could rate everything 1 or 7. We hope that it doesn't happen because we're all committed to working in the GNSO and doing our work in the council, maybe representing a constituency stakeholder group or as myself as a non-com appointee. So I hope it doesn't happen. That's a behavior that it's not expected, but it can appear. We have Adrian in the list. Adrian.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me okay?
Sure. Yes.
First of all, let me just say congratulations, and I understand it's been a lot of work that has gone into this. I have been an observer to the group, and I guess after the 6 months' worth of work that has gone into getting us to where we are now, I've been rather critical of the approach. In my world, I want to make a decision, being a CEO, I go out to my executive managers and I ask them what I think about something, and they give me their opinion and I make a decision. Now, I understand when I brought that up within the group that I was told that this is bottom up and we must assess everything, and everybody has to have input, and that's why we're here as a council. So I'll take that on notice. But from my point of view, I elect an official. I voted for Chuck to be chair for a reason. And as far as I'm concerned, that we then have vice chairs, and if they elected a council to do prioritisation, we would potentially put our faith in that. So I won't open a debate on whether we should change our perspective or anything else. Clearly, this is the direction we're going. However, it concerns me greatly in hearing that this seems to be a one-off exercise. If I listen to what Ken was talking about earlier, he said, well, we're prioritising and then the further management thereof, we haven't quite worked out that. He said, Sean said he changed his language, or Bunta, or whatever he said, and then we're going to sit back and we've just done this prioritisation for the tasks at hand, and any new tasks where we haven't sort of looked into the management of that. And then Jamie came in and a few others have then said, afterwards, and then Ken changed his mind and said, well, we would look at potentially getting tasks and looking at ranking them and putting them in so long as the council could sort of remember where they were. So I'm just a little concerned. I'm getting a little bit of mixed messaging, and I apologize if I haven't quite caught it right, as to how we're going to deal with this. We're 6 months in. If we're going to do a prioritization of a point-in-time snapshot and then not be able to put other things in, I think the exercise is somewhat is wasted. I would certainly, if the process is good enough to do it once, it should be good enough to do it with every new task that comes in. We need to be dynamic enough. We need to be able to be reactive as a council and be able to understand the prioritisation of work at any given time, not as it was 3 months ago when we did a prioritisation task. I think we've been put under the pump many times from the board and by our constituents to make decisions quickly and to be able to react accordingly. So I guess I'll sum up my little rant by just requesting for potentially clarification or at least someone to review that this process needs to be something that can be dynamic. It needs to be something that can have inputs and outputs, in fact, at regular intervals as they occur. Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian. Chuck, do you want to add any comment?
Yes,
to what Adrian... Okay, go ahead.
and I'll comment on several people's statements. First of all, I don't think it's accurate, Adrian, to say that Ken changed his view on that. One of the things that we tried to do in the presentation was, and that Olga tried to do there, was really to keep it fairly brief. It's really critical that everybody read through the entire recommendations, because the recommendations do deal with when a new project comes up, and Ken talked about that. There is the opportunity for us to do that, but the recommendations do not cover how the council's going to manage the process. The task of this group was to develop a prioritization methodology, and that's what's presented for you. The task was not to develop the management procedures of the councils in terms of how we will use that. That is still work to be done. In fact, Adrian made some very good suggestions along that line on the council list this week. Back to what Wendy said about complexity, and I'll just reiterate maybe in a different way what Jamie said, and that is that prioritization in a bottom-up organization is inherently complex already. So we're hoping we're not making it more complex. In fact, Adrian mentioned the fact that it's taken a long time for us to get to this point. Part of the reason was we pursued a methodology that we ultimately, after testing it, decided was too complex, and so we simplified it. So hopefully we're successful there. Last of all, let me just say the motion that's on the table right now does not finalize approval of this methodology. Rather, it approves a timeline for testing it on a first prioritization exercise, and then after we go through that exercise, then evaluate it and see where it can be improved before we recommend any final procedures. And I'll leave it at that, Olga.
Thank you, Chuck. David?
Yes, thanks, Olga. No, it's just on the rating of each project and Wendy's point about strategic behavior and what if everybody votes one. Could we not have a system in place, perhaps, where each councillor has a certain number of points or dominoes or whatever which they can allocate to each project, and then when they've used it all up they can't allocate anything to anything else?
Sorry, I'm not sure if I got your question. About someone rating everything as one, I think Tim made an interesting comment here in the chat. Maybe someone really wants to put one to all the projects for some reason. And that's part of the process. I don't know if I really understood your question.
Yeah, no, well, it was, I suppose, in that way to discuss it, that the, you know, if you've got something, I don't know, 40 points, for instance, you then allocate whether it's 5 to each one or 7 or however that's split up. But the ones which you concentrate, which are a real high priority for that stakeholder group, you put your points there, and then we see what the total is at the end of it, and that enables us to allocate resources appropriately and rate the projects. So I can see that everyone could vote one, but it was just a way of maybe getting around that issue of everybody voting one or everybody voting seven.
Olga, let me make a suggestion here. David, that's really a possibility to do something like that. I think if we try to start tweaking the process in this meeting, we're not going to get very far. I think those are the kinds of ideas that we should keep in our minds as we go through the exercise, if the council agrees to do that, and are possible improvements that could be made to it if we see they're needed after we go through the exercise. Go ahead.
Yes, remember, I would like to point what Chuck just said. The idea is that we make a first trial of this process. We did several among us, and as Chuck said, we simplified a lot of the process that we thought about at the beginning, that it was more complex. So we hope this is effective and it works as it worked for our smaller working team. Christina.
Sorry, apologies. I needed to get off mute. One point that I'm not clear on is whether or not let's just assume for purposes of discussion that this motion passes. Is this proposal going out for public comment within the community?
Because if not, it seems to me that we might want to think about that, only because this is going to be, first, something very new, and second, could really fundamentally alter how work is being done. And, you know, in theory, it would, you would hope that as the process is implemented, each counselor's point or ranking allocation is going to reflect the views of his or her constituency, or in the case of the NCA is not. But it would seem to me that this might be something that I guess I'm just concerned that if we're going to adopt a methodology for prioritizing all of the work within the GNSO, that it might be appropriate to ensure that we're getting broad comment on it.
Christina, the modification of the GNSO operating procedures, including all this process, will be available for public comment. That's the idea. And please check and Ken, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I think what Christina may be getting at is the motion now contains an item that starts a 21-day comment period. And so Christina, is what you're getting at that maybe the 21-day comment period should happen after we go through the exercise? And after we make final improvements and adjustments to the procedure?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it seems to me that it may be appropriate, depending upon how we want to do it, to consider both, simply because I could see how if we take comments on it and then we incorporate those, that in some cases I think we've all seen information and intentions get lost in translation, so to speak. You know, and I certainly don't want to – it wouldn't stop us from going forward after the first comment. But I guess I'm just creating Adrian's concern that I'm a little concerned about having this process and we look at it once and you know, decide how we're going to manage it, and it just gets kind of written in stone. So, you know, those were a lot of the types of concerns that I got from folks in our constituency.
So I don't think I'm still clear on, are you suggesting that maybe that part of the motion for the public comment period be removed? Are you okay with that in there, with the understanding that we could do a comment period later after we make adjustments?
I would say that perhaps we add in the second one.
Well, of course,
to add what?
That can be done. I don't know that it has to be done in this motion, although it could be done in this motion.
I'm sorry, I didn't get Christina's last comment.
No, my thing was just kind of following up that there be an opportunity for, you know, if we wanted to, I guess, changing the second resolve clause so that there would be another opportunity after for public comment after the first work prioritization effort. Not necessarily making clear that the public comment period would not go to kind of merit of here's the outcome and people are going to disagree with it or not, but more did the process work as we envisioned it? Did the process work as the community expected it to, and so on?
Just to help on that, I think maybe the last resolve might be a better place to put that, Christina. We could very easily, at the end of the last resolve, just say after an additional 21-day comment period, after we've done the analysis and so forth.
That, yeah, I mean, that would definitely work.
That's okay. I'm okay with that. Thank you, Christina. Jamie?
I want to say that I second Christina's suggestion to have a second comment period after the test. But I would like to also to comment that we already have a prioritization method, but I don't know which one it is, because everyone prioritizes work when we decide and when we give opinions. So the problem is that the the council requested to have a formal and way of doing these things, because we thought that this would help to have a formalized and structured process to do this, because we already do this today in a very informal and unstructured way. So what I think we are presenting here is something that was requested by the council. And it does not solve everything, and it's a method. So, yes, it tackles things that are crucial to GNSO work and to manage, but I think it is an opportunity and not a threat. But also everything that that changes is always perceived as a threat. So why not I would like to point that what we are presenting here is a suggestion of a process that is open to comments, and that it's a timeline for a first trial. So why don't we try it? And I appreciate very much the extended or added comment period after this trial.
Thank you, Jamie. Stefan.
Thanks, Olga. Well, I want to thank Christina for raising the point that she did raise, because it, to me, and I'm going to rant just as much as Adrian did earlier on, it just shows how far off course this whole thing's, you know, gone. From a personal point of view, I'm wondering how crazy it would be for us to try and get two comment periods to validate the fact that after 6 months we've proposed a method for prioritization. I could never pronounce that word. Sorry about that.
Me neither.
It's just, I could say it in French. It'd be simpler for me. But it's just, you know, the whole complexity of this process makes me feel very comfortable with going back to what Adrian was saying earlier on. Maybe we should go back to basics. We have a chair. We have leaders that can, in effect, prioritize some work or give us guidelines to prioritization. And we have a group that have worked for 6 months within the GNSO. And to me, this is really a GNSO-centric problem. I mean, how do we rate which projects we feel are the most important? We've got a group that's worked, come up with a method, and now what's being suggested is that we go out and have two comment periods on this. I mean, you know, let's work on this for a year and a half, and it'll just end up like any other GNSO project. It just goes on and on and on, and we can never get anything done. Sorry for blowing steam on this, but I'm just appalled that it's taking us this long to get anywhere.
This is Chuck, Olga, and I'm going to take over this now, because we're just about out of time on this particular issue, and suggest that we bring the motion to a vote. Please note on the Adobe Connect room that at the end of the second resolve, that after a second public comment period has been added to that motion to get that in. Christina, does that cover your concern?
Yes.
And Jamie's already expressed that he sees that as a friendly amendment. Olga, are you, and I think you did too, that it's a friendly amendment.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion has been changed. So I would like to bring the, I see Tim's hand up. Tim, please be brief.
So does the motion then allow for the first prioritization to occur during the, we don't have to wait till the first 21-day public comment period ends? Is that right?
It's going on simultaneous to to the effort. And it actually, probably one of the benefits of the first comment period is if people wanted to comment on how they think things should be prioritized, it gives them an opportunity to do that. As we then get ready to do our individual prioritizations and then the group exercise. So it's a good question, Tim. All right. Olga, you made the motion and Jamie seconded it. Olga, would you please read the resolve portions of the motion?
Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the GNSO Council accepts the deliverable of the WPMDT, thanks the team for its efforts, and approves the use of Chapter 6 and the annex link there for conducting its first work prioritization effort. Resolved further that the GNSO Council directs staff to commence a 21-day public comment period on this amendment to the GNSO operating procedures and reserve the right to modify the procedures described in Chapter 6 and the annex link there after the conclusion of both the public comment period and the first work prioritization effort. Resolved further that the GNSO Council supports the recommended timeline, see below, for conducting the first work prioritization effort and directs the GNSO Secretariat to make arrangements consistent with its dates and activities. Resolve further that the GNSO Council take action in Chapter 6 and Annex link with regard to the GNSO operating procedures as soon as possible after completion and analysis of the first work prioritization effort and after a second public comment period. Timeline for first prioritization effort, dates, activities proposed in the link, 26 to 30 April, and step
Olga,
one.
Let me stop you there. Does anybody,
okay.
You can actually see the timeline a lot better in the wiki than you can in the Adobe Connect. It makes a lot more sense. Is it necessary for Olga to go through the timeline? All of you should have had a chance to look at that. The key thing is it leads us up to a prioritization exercise in Brussels, which is estimated to take 2 hours, and that's after all of the individual ratings. Does anyone need that gone through in detail? Okay. For the sake of time, then, because we are over time right now, I would like to go ahead and call a vote on this. Does anyone object to a voice vote on this? Hearing no objections, all those in
Chuck,
favor?
Chuck?
Yes?
Yes, Adrian, I object to a voice vote.
All right. Thank you, Adrian. Glenn, would you please do a roll call vote?
Yes. Is for the motion and no is against the motion. Deborah Hughes.
Yes. Yes.
Olga Cavelli.
Yes. Yes.
Mike Rodenbach is absent. Edmund Chun is on mute. Jamie Wagner.
Yes. Yes.
Stefan van Gelder.
No. No.
William Drake.
Yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes.
Edmund, can I come back to you? What is your vote, please? Tim Ruiz?
No.
Saeed Jamil is absent. Terry Davis?
Yes, yes.
Mary Wong?
Yes, yes.
David Taylor?
Yes, yes.
Rafik Damak?
Yes, yes.
Wolf Ulrich Knoben?
Yes, yes.
Caroline Greer?
Yes, yes.
Rosemary Sinclair? Is absent. Chuck Gomes?
Yes, yes.
Wendy Seltzer? Wendy?
I'm sorry, muting. Yes.
Adrian Kinderis?
No.
Two no votes.
That's three no votes.
Three no votes.
Glenn, I see Edmund is online.
Yes, I see he's online. Edmund, can you give us your vote, please? From the Contracted Party House, three no votes. And from the Non-Contracted Party House, ten yes votes. And there were three people who did not vote there: Saeed Jamil, Mike Rodenbach, and Rosemary Sinclair.
So, if I understand correctly,
so the motion passes.
Glenn, this is Tim. The motion passes based on a majority vote of both houses. Is that correct?
No, Tim, I don't think that's correct. I think that the motion does not pass because there was not a simple majority of the contracted party's house.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Unless Edmund's been able to vote, but we haven't heard it.
We haven't heard Edmund's vote, and I see that he's disconnected.
Yeah, apparently there's some connectivity problems there.
Yes.
So we have a he's been unable to vote. Has he sent anything? I don't see anything on the list either. So
I don't see anything on the Adobe Connect, and I will check email for you, Chuck.
So
I do not see anything on the email either. So Edmund has not voted.
And so the motion does not carry. So in essence, I take it we're back to square one on prioritization. So we have no longer any time in this meeting to deal with this. So if we have any time at the end, which is probably unlikely, we will come back to this issue. Let's go on to item four on the agenda, the Who Is Studies. There's quite a few links there. We're not going to take a look at those links individually, but quickly go to a summary of proposals for Who Is Study budget requests from the GNSO, Liz is going to give us a quick summary there.
So I'm going to make this very quick because I know time is short. I just want to recall for everyone that what we're considering here is a budget for Who Is Studies that the council has asked staff to look into for a total of four study areas that we're examining. We just have costs and feasibility so far on two of the four areas. The two areas that we have provided you with costs on are in shorthand, Who Is Misuse Studies, two different studies under that category, and Who Is Registrant Identification Studies. Each of those we estimate to cost about $150,000 each. I believe it was Chuck who suggested that if you are supportive of those studies, it might be wise to up the estimate a bit to be conservative. I agree that makes sense, although I think the estimates are reliable. There are two other study areas that I'm still examining. They both deal with proxy and privacy services, so an important area there. One has to do with proxy and privacy abuse, and I'm pretty far along with that, but not ready to issue an RFP. It'll probably be around the Brussels timeframe before that RFP is ready to go. It would take another 60 days to solicit feedback on that, and probably another 30 to 60 days to analyze. And then separately, there is a privacy and proxy reveal study that's been requested that staff evaluate cost and feasibility. I'm having a harder time with that study, and right now I would not estimate when I would have an RFP ready for that, but it would certainly be a couple of months at least. Well, more than a couple months, probably 3 to 4 months at least before I'd have an RFP ready on the REVEAL study. And if anyone has questions, I'll answer them.
Hello? Hello? This is Edmund.
Edmund made it on.
Yes, I apologize. My cell phone ran dead on battery just now on the vote. I was just wondering if I could just record my vote back on the previous motion.
Any objections to Edmund being able to record his vote on the prioritization exercise that we previously covered? Okay, hearing none. Edmund, what is your vote?
Yes.
So the prioritization motion passes?
Chuck?
Yes.
Yes, my mute button was off, and I didn't get a chance to register my objection.
So you don't want Edmund to be able to record his vote?
I won't object. However, I would like to state for the record that it's is of concern to me. Thanks.
What is of concern for to you, Adrian?
I will say for the record that I would like the ability to vote post or have the opportunity to do the same should the need ever arise.
Well, I would hope that any time we have a technical problem that prevents somebody to vote in a meeting itself, and unfortunately our procedures right now don't allow absentee voting on an area like this, and one of our working teams is working on that whole problem. But I would hope that none of us would ever want to exclude someone from voting for a technical reason if we can avoid it. So I would see no problem with your position there.
Chuck?
Yes, Stefan?
Stefan here. Can I just chip in?
I said yes.
Okay. Thanks. I know we're running over. I just want to make a very quick point. And I understand the motion carries with Edmund's vote. I just want to make the point that I don't think the registrars have a problem with the proposed model. And I wouldn't want the team that worked on that model to feel disappointed and to go away from this thinking that we rejected the model. It's just the fact that there are two comment periods and the addition of that amendment, which really threw us. I think it's an important point to make. Our take on this is that we need to get this done as quickly as possible, and we would have probably agreed to the original motion. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for making that explanation, Stefan. All right. Moving on back to the Who Is studies on item 4 on the agenda. Liz just gave us a brief summary. Are there any questions or comments on the Who Is Studies budget request issue? While I'm giving people a chance. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
No, thanks. I was going to raise my hand and get unmuted all at the same time. I guess I'm not that ambidextrous. So. Yeah, just wanted to confirm again that as I understand it, that whatever the dollar amount is here that is specified in this motion, if the motion passes, that's forwarded to staff, but there's no expectation that it has any effect on the actual total expenses, only that this amount is earmarked and it'll be accounted for elsewhere, that the expenses as budgeted won't increase.
I think that's correct, Tim, and you saw Liz's response to that question as well as I did. Assuming that the total budgeted amount doesn't change, and Liz seemed to indicate that it probably won't, then some budget adjustments are going to have to be made elsewhere to be able to cover some Who Is studies. Is that correct, Liz?
Yes, it is.
Does that answer your question, Tim? Okay, Christina?
Yes, it does. Sorry.
Thanks, Tim.
Christina? Yeah, I just wanted to confirm my understanding that the current motion, assuming it passes, not only is not requiring, not specifying which studies would go forward, but in fact, whether any studies actually would go forward. But at this point, it's really just a budget placeholder. Is that understanding correct?
Yes. One of the problems, and I probably drove it this way to an extent, because I really didn't think we were going to have time, nor do we have enough information probably to totally define which studies should be done. So that's an exercise we still have to do. But if there's no funds in the budget, and we're dealing with the 17 May posting of the draft budget, so we have that deadline, it would be a moot point. It wouldn't matter what studies we later pick to do if there are no funds to do them. So that was the rationale there. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense. And in fact, you know, I'm better. The motion, as far as I'm concerned, is better that it doesn't. You know, it's not requiring us to vote for studies. It's not requiring us to decide now which studies. Yeah, you know, to me, having the flexibility makes it more palatable.
Yeah, that's a decision we still have to make, which studies to do. And some of the studies, we don't have enough information to even make that decision yet. There's one. There are two that we have information. And so the idea is to request that some funds be put in there for WHO is studies, and then we still have the task of deciding which studies should be pursued.
Sure. Okay, great. Want to make sure I was on the, you know, on the...
Thanks. Very good question. It's an awkward situation we're in here. So the timing of when the WHO is study report came through and the budget process, put us in a bind here. So that's why we have a less than perfect motion in that regard, but I think it does give us the flexibility then to take the time to work together to decide what studies to pursue if there are funds budget. Alan?
Yeah, just for clarity, Liz said there are a number of studies which have not even gone out for an RFP yet, so she doesn't have any idea of the price. I'm assuming the funds to do that part of the process are budgeted elsewhere, and this envelope figure is only for doing the actual studies, not the prep work. Is that correct?
Basically, that's right, Alan. We've got a built-in funding for the scoping work.
Okay.
Thank you, Alan. Christina, did you have another question?
No, I'm sorry. I'll lower my hand. Thanks.
No problem. That's all right. We all do it. Any other comments or questions? Obviously, what we need to do is to fill in an amount in the motion. That was intentionally left blank because of the fact that I didn't really have a good sense of what the council would like in terms of amount. I personally, suggested anywhere from $300,000 to $500,000. $300,000 would cover, for example, the two studies that we have information on now if we decided to do those two studies with no buffer. If we added a buffer, we could add 10% and make it $330,000 or $350,000 or whatever we wanted. But there are a couple other studies out there as well that we could get information on early enough in fiscal year 11 to suggest those. So does anyone, I put on the list my suggested range there. Anybody want to comment and make your own suggestion with regard to a dollar amount, because we do need to fill that in on the motion. I mean, I can suggest $500,000, and we don't know whether that'll be accepted or not. I'm not seeing any hands raised. Oh, here we got one. Good. Christina.
I would actually suggest maybe $400,000, with the idea that we would have the flexibility, I think, Liz
something about it. To then perhaps, emphasis on that, authorize two studies with $200,000 for each. And that way I think that keeps us kind of to more of a budget. And that number seems, frankly, to resonate pretty well, at least within the IPC, as opposed to anything that would be higher than that.
Thank you. Okay. So Christina has suggested $400,000. Anyone else want to comment? Stefan?
Thanks, Chuck. It seems that it might be a bit dangerous or it's difficult for us to actually come up with a number. I don't want Christina to think that every time she speaks I say something opposite, but perhaps is it possible to put in a proviso there that the actual amount can be decided at some future point where we have more exact numbers, and perhaps we could lead with 400,000 as a suggestion with that proviso that we could come back and refine that as time moves on.
Well, as you know, Stefan, the board in its meeting in Brussels has to approve a final budget with specific dollar amount. So they're going to have to put some number in there for who is studied if they put funds in there so that the board can act. As you also know, with any organization's budget, there are often changes to that budget as the years go on, and there are ways to deal with that. So I think by the very nature of the way budgets work, there are procedures or methodologies for making adjustments as the year goes on. But I think staff's going to have to put some dollar amount in there. Do we want to just leave it to them to put a dollar amount in there? I think they would much prefer that we make a recommendation and then that we deal with that as the year goes on. Does that make sense?
No, actually. I'm sorry. Either you didn't understand what I meant or I don't understand what you mean. Are you saying that whatever number we put in there, because the board has to ratify the budget and because staff has to put that budget together, it doesn't really matter? What I was suggesting is that we put in 400,000 as Christina suggested, with the proviso that moving forward it might change. But you seem to be saying that would be redundant because whatever happens when you're working on a budget, things can change anyway as time moves on. Am I understanding you?
No, I didn't understand you to be agreeing with Christina to put 400,000 in. That was where we differed. Okay, if you're suggesting put $400,000 in, and if you want to add a provision in there, we can. I think what I was saying then is that, if we put $400,000 in, it doesn't mean that the draft budget's going to contain $400,000. That's one thing we need to understand. That's not our call. We're making a recommendation that it be put in. Secondly, whatever we put in there, if it does get approved by the board, or some amount gets approved by the board, there are means throughout the year to make adjustments, and we could always come back and suggest those adjustments if they can find funds.
Yeah, just to make that clear, I was agreeing with Christina's number and suggesting that we leave it open to change if there is change needed, just to try and make it as simple as I can. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you. That's helpful. And I'm just looking at Tim. Alan was first. Alan?
Yeah. In a year that it is, by all reports, is going to be a really difficult budget year, I think the chance of getting an increment partway through the year is going to be close to nil. So I would put in something that we believe is a reasonable envelope. Since the two studies that have been costed so far are 150, and I think it reasonable to attempt to do three studies, I would put in 500,000, including a buffer. This is work that has been requested by the board. It's work that has been requested by the GATS. We have been floundering for years now. I think we should try to get the work done this year and be able to start in a position to start developing real policy. and the board may not, or the board or finance committee may not approve it, but I would put a reasonable envelope in for getting information that some people at least believe will allow us to write policy. So I would use the number 500,000. It's also the number that Bruce happened to mention in our open GNSO meeting, so it has slight credibility from that perspective.
Okay. Tim.
Thanks. Liz is exactly right. What I was going to ask was if we could somehow, you know, add a whereas that makes clear the understanding that you don't mean to imply that any studies will necessarily be approved, and that this is not expected to increase the fiscal 11 budget expenses.
Tim, as you can see, there's some live editing of the whereas clauses going on right now. As you can see, it says if funding becomes available, the council will then decide which studies to fund. It does not increase the fiscal year 11. Why is that last whereas being added?
Well, let's see. I don't see where that's being changed.
It says I'm curious as to why it does not increase the fiscal year 11 budget expenses as currently projected. That's not a GNSO call.
No, I'm saying that we do not expect that this request will increase the fiscal year 11. In other words, we're not expecting that we're not asking for additional funds be allocated, that we make it clear that we understand that what we're asking for is, you know, but money's going to be moved around. We're not expecting this to be a request for additional funds in the budget. That's all I want to make clear. I'm not.
So you want that as a whereas clause in addition to the one that's there now?
Well, the one that's there now, let's see. Maybe I don't have the latest one showing here, but I don't see anything
about
that.
It's in the Adobe. You're looking at the Adobe Connect window?
Yeah.
If funding becomes available, mm-hmm. the council will then decide which studies to fund, if any.
Yeah, that doesn't cover it. I mean, if funding becomes available, doesn't stipulate that, or doesn't make it clear that we're not requesting additional funds
in the overall budget.
Yeah, if the funding becomes available, well, that could be a lot of different ways. They could decide to increase the expenses or take money from somewhere else. Where I want to make it clear, whatever they do, that we're not expecting, we're not asking that this increase the budget or that they add funds for this.
But Tim, could you just say if funding became available out of existing funds?
That's a little bit different than what he just said. But is that what you want, Tim? I'm sorry.
That would be better.
About this is Liz. I would suggest two different whereas clauses personally because I think they're two different points. I think one is that you want, if I understand what you're saying, Tim, I think one is that you want the council to be able to decide at a later date based on the funding what studies to do. The other is more of a provided that clause where, you know, provided that the total budget, ICANN's total budget for fiscal year 2011 remains the same or is not increased to provide for Lewis studies, right? Those are two.
Right. I mean, you know, we know what we're trying to do here, Ed, but, you know, the wider community, I want to make sure it's clear that, especially in my constituency, that we had, that if we vote yes on this thing, we didn't do so with the understanding that it was requesting additional money in the budget. So I think what Liz is proposing sounds fine to me.
I think we have to be a little bit careful, though, because it says provided that the total ICANN budget for fiscal year 11 remains the same. So we're saying the budget framework amount that's in there right now, is that what we're saying? Maybe it would be better to say provided that the total ICAM budget for fiscal year 11 is not increased as a result of funding WHOIS studies.
There we go.
Is that what, does that accomplish it, Tim?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So we have that. Let's go on to Wendy.
Thanks. As long as we're throwing around numbers, I would say to me, WHOIS studies are a much lower priority, so 200,000.
Okay. Adrian?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I just want to, by voting for this, am I agreeing that we're going to do studies? I realize we say, if any, in there.
No, we're not. We're not. We still have to decide on that, Adrian.
Okay.
It's just that that's an even more complicated issue than the budget issue. But if we don't have budget, the rest is irrelevant.
Yeah, right. So all we're saying, right, so this is really the budget we're talking about, and I'm just on behalf of my constituency that we're not necessarily agreeing to any studies at all here.
That is correct.
Thank you, Chuck, for the clarification.
You're welcome. Alan.
Yeah, I'm not sure I agree with your answer on that one. The implication is, since the council is asking for money in the budget, that the implication is that there is an expectation that we will do some studies, we just don't know which. If I was sitting on the Board Finance Committee, I wouldn't allocate money if there's a belief we're actually just going to let it sit there and it'll disappear.
If we go through the process of deciding what studies, if any, to fund, even though we even got one that isn't even complete yet, then, you know, this is going to get put off for a long, long time, and then there may not be any money for studies. So to me it seems like we either agree now that it's if any, and there'll be money there if it does happen. Otherwise, there'll be no money there, and then it doesn't matter what we decide because it isn't going to happen this year.
All I was suggesting is not send a message to the board that we're not likely to approve any studies, because that's a guarantee for $0 there.
Good point, Alan. And
yeah, I don't think that we wouldn't approve any if that it's not a given that some will be approved. That's all we're saying.
So, Alan, do you think the if any language there creates a problem?
It was more the tone of the comment than the word in the resolution.
Okay.
I actually put my hand up, however, to disagree with the addition that Tim did. The board and the Board Finance Committee have a real difficult problem at this point, and the budget may jump up and down for things completely unrelated to this, and it's not clear that one can attribute any change to one particular part of the of the budget. The you know, money is fungible at this point. So I think it's a meaningless statement that we're adding at that point.
Yeah, I understand. That was my concern originally when I wondered why that was in there, because I think it's getting beyond our realm. But
this is Tim. Can I respond to that?
Sure, Tim. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, I mean, it is out of our control, and so who knows what can happen and what can be attributed to what. The point is that, you know, we'd like to be able to vote in favor of this motion, and we're just trying to, you know, get it worded in a way so that we can defend it to our constituency and others who might have problems with the WHOIS studies in general. So, you know,
okay.
Well, what happens down the road, you know, I know it, to some extent, is out of our control, but this makes it much more palatable for us.
Thank you, Tim. Adrian, did you have your hand up again?
Sorry, no, it's been covered off. Thank you.
Thanks. Stefan?
Yeah, I just want to say that I would have no problem sending a signal to the board that we don't feel that more WHOIS studies are necessary at this point. And I certainly would like that, if any, to be kept in there, please.
Thank you. Anyone else want to comment? Okay. Is it okay then to? Oh, David. Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, no, just the point. I think it's certainly difficult to figure out an amount when we've got the first and second study both being 150 each, maybe 200,000 each, and a third study which we don't have an estimated budget for yet, because the problem certainly from our constituency is the third one is probably the most important from our point of view, certainly the proxy reveal part of it, because that's where brand owners spend an inordinate amount of money trying to identify who they're actually going up against. So that's my only concern there, is whatever we do, that's the one which I would want to make sure we, when we come back, we do give that due consideration and not be inhibited by the fact we've got a budget which might be 300,000 or 400,000, saying, well, that only allows two and we'll allow the first two in, which seem to be number one and number two. That's my only concern, just to flag it.
Thank you, David. Tim? Is it your hand still up?
I stepped away from my computer. I can't put it down, but you can ignore it.
Okay, thanks. Okay. Now, we do have to insert an amount. We've heard everything from 200,000 to 500,000. I'm not sure exactly what the fairest way is to resolve that. We could take the average, which is I guess about 350, we could go with one of the amounts. I expect that probably the two extremes are probably not supported. What about, is there a strong objection to Christina's suggestion of 400,000? Tim? That's still your hand, right?
This is a new hand now.
Okay.
Just a question as to, you know, does Liz or anyone on the staff have a realistic idea of what could be accomplished? If studies were approved, how many could actually be done in a 12-month period? I doubt if all three. Even two, is that kind of a stretch?
Two can be done within a 12-month period. Assuming, we have to sort of get the contract finalized and such, so I need a little time for that. And we need to get a data extraction for the second study from a different source. So I think, that would be 12 to 14 months. The third we would not be ready to start a third study for some time yet, at least 4 months, I would say, minimum, maybe longer.
But it could happen in fiscal year 11.
But it could happen, right, in fiscal year 11 where we would start it.
Okay. So I had asked the question whether anybody objected strongly to Christina's suggestion of 400,000 for the amount in the motion. Are there any strong objections to that? Okay. Then let's put $400,000 in there, U.S. dollars. And if there are no more comments, we'll take a vote on the motion.
Chuck, Stefan here.
Yes, Stefan.
Sorry to interrupt again, but Adrian has suggested some different wording on the chat. I was wondering if we might want to look at that.
Okay, let me look at the chat. Let's see. Whilst not confirming that studies will be performed.
So, Chuck, it's Adrian. Can I comment?
Sure.
So I was just trying to make that language stronger around the if any. I just wanted to ensure that we weren't committing to doing studies here in any way, shape, or form. So maybe some wording that could be inserted, as it says there, and there are better wordsmiths than me, but whilst not confirming that studies will be performed, you could then then say we would like, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
So you can. I assume you can see what's going on the on the Adobe Connect window.
Yeah, so Mary's just suggested one there. Provided that the council's recommendation of this amount is not to be taken as indication that the council will recommend any or particular studies to be performed. Yeah, I'm okay with that. That's a much better job. So I think everybody gets where I'm coming from, so I'm happy for it to be discussed.
Okay. We'll let that be captured on the screen. So we're going to go with Mary's language. You're okay with that?
Yes, please.
Okay. Okay. Any other... Tim?
I'm just wondering if in the last resolve, I think it's the last resolve, no, it's not the last resolve, second to the last resolve, that the word included be replaced with maybe a set aside or earmarked.
Let's see. Just trying to find where the, it's the second to last resolve, is that it?
Yeah, it's a resolve that the GNSO Council recommends that at least $400,000 be set aside or be earmarked in the ICANN budget for fiscal year 2011.
And your change was what, again?
That $400,000 be set aside instead of included. Or it could be earmarked. I don't know which would be more appropriate. But
yeah, I'm not sure any it matters which way we say it, but pick one and we'll put it in there.
Set aside.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Was I the one that made this motion? I think I was. Did anybody want to second it?
It's Chuck. It's Adrian. I'll second it.
Thank you. Any further discussion? All right. I will read the resolve. If funding becomes available, the council will then decide which studies to fund, if any, provided that the council's recommendation of this amount is not to be taken as an indication that the council will recommend any or particular studies be performed. And provided that the total ICANN budget for fiscal year 11 is not increased as a result of funding WHOIS studies, resolve that the GNSO Council recommends that at least $400,000 be set aside in the ICANN budget for fiscal year 2011. So I actually read part of the whereases. Sorry, I stated that incorrectly. And then resolve further that the GNSO Secretary communicate this resolution to the ICANN Chief Financial Officer and the Board Finance Committee. Christina.
A question and a request, requesting that we have a roll call vote. But the question being, and this really goes to staff, I don't have a problem with Mary's proposed wording. I just am concerned that what we intend to say and what the board may perceive us to say may not necessarily be one and the same thing. Namely, you know, we're at a point where we need to make some kind of request for timing purposes, but we have not yet gotten to the point that we're going to decide to do studies. It could be that we do. It could be that we don't. You know, it doesn't mean because we have language in here, we're not necessarily saying that we're not going to do them. I'm just wondering if I could get a read from staff as to whether we need to tweak this so that the board is getting the message that we're intending them to get.
And do you have any particular suggestions with regard to the motion?
No. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's fine, but just because I understand what we're trying to do doesn't necessarily mean that the board is going to understand what we're trying to do. And I'm trying to avoid a disconnect.
Yeah, I understand. So hopefully if they don't, they will come back to us and ask for clarification. But I appreciate the concern you're expressing. Anything else before we take a vote on this motion? All right. We will have a roll call vote. Glenn?
Hello?
Yes, yes.
Yes. Adrian Kinderis.
Yes, yes.
Wendy Salsa.
Yes, yes.
Chuck Gomes.
Yes, yes.
Caroline Greer.
Yes.
Yes. Bård Ulrich Knobben.
Yes. Yes.
Rafik Demak. Rafik.
Yes.
David Taylor.
Yes. Yes.
Mary Wong.
Yes. Yes.
Terry Davis.
Yes. Yes.
Saeed Jamil is not here. Tim Ruiz?
Yes, 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 yes.
Christina Rosette?
Yes, yes.
William Drake?
Yes, yes.
Stefan van Gelder?
In favor.
Jamie Wagner?
Yes, yes.
Edmund Chun? Edmund? I see you on the line again.
He just Skyped me. He's just got bumped off.
Oh. So.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, Edmund.
Hello. Hello.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. Olga Cavelli. Olga's dropped off the line. She has got another appointment. Debbie Hughes.
Yes. Yes.
Seven yes votes from the contracted party's house. Nine yes votes from the non-contracted party's house.
So the motion carries. Any questions or comments before we move on? All right. Going on to agenda item 5, the joint SOAC working group. This is very quick. This is to develop a sustainable approach to providing support to applicants requiring assistance in applying for and operating new GTLDs. That process of forming that joint group has been initiated. Both the GAC and ALAC have expressed intentions to participate. It's still open to the CCNSO and the and other advisory committees if they want to participate, as well as people from the community in general. OLAF is going to be the staff support person from the implementation team. So that's just information for everybody. And, of course, a request has gone out to the GNSO for participants in that working group. I just encourage each of you to, make sure that your constituents are aware of this opportunity and that if people want to volunteer, they put their names forward. Are there any questions or comments on that? Quickly going on to item 6, other business. We have, first of all, the issue of GNSO comments regarding the fiscal year 11 operating plan and budget. I'm going to assume, unless somebody comments differently right now, that there is, at least at this point in time, no interest in the GNSO submitting any comments in that regard. Once the draft budget comes out on September 17th, we can look at that again, and if anybody thinks that there should be possibly a GNSO statement regarding the draft budget that's posted on 17th May, we can do it at that time. Going on to the AGP policy questions, Craig, would you please raise the questions? My guess is we may not be able to answer these. We'll allow just a little bit of time for discussion. We may have to defer actual action on these questions to our next meeting. Craig, would you please go ahead and raise the questions and any context you need to give?
Sure, Chuck, and thanks for this opportunity. In early April, I reached out to the council to open up the questions that are listed here in the agenda. since there is a reporting requirement associated with the policy, that is, staff is to provide semi-annual updates to the council on the implementation of the policy. So far, two reports have been provided, one in June of 2009 and one in December of 2009. And as noted in that last report, the volume of excessive AGP deletes has decreased by 99.7% since the policy was implemented. Just as perhaps some other real quick statistical information, in the 10-month period following the implementation of the policy, which started in April of 2009, there have been a total of 19 registrar exemption requests. Of the 19 requests representing about 25,000 names in total, five of the requests have been approved, two of the requests have partial approval, seven of the requests have been denied, three of the requests were not approved, unless the registrars had not exceeded their AGP allowance for the month, and two of the 19 are unresolved. So just some quick and basic information. In the April communication to the council, I raised the two questions here in the agenda. Should the council consider modifying the AGP limits policy to no longer require semi-annual updates? Given the statistics associated with the implementation of the policy and the drastic reduction in excessive AGP deletes, I question whether there's ongoing value in using council time and staff time for these reports. The second question is, should the council consider modifying the AGP limits policy by defining the terms extraordinary circumstances or recur regularly? For example, should instances of consumer fraud automatically be a legitimate use of AGP deletes? So those are the questions before the council. I will note that of the 19 requests, there's only been one that's come from the same registrar, and they were for different issues. So the notion of recurring regularly does not seem to be happening. And in terms of defining the term extraordinary circumstances, I don't think that this was something that the council was able to do when it was coming up with its recommendation for the policy, and it's also not something that staff undertook in its development of the implementation plan. There's a provision in the policy that provides that registries have sole responsibility for rendering decision about exemption requests. So there's actually quite a bit of, I think, latitude built into the wording of the policy. And whether or not the council needs to, should consider spending more time on defining terms is one of the questions before you. So I'll cut off my remarks at that point and certainly open to answering any questions the council may have and talking about next steps.
Any comments at this point in time or questions? Alan.
Thank you. I asked a question earlier, and I'm not sure I got an answer which fully addresses it. A comment had been made that a number of registrar requests that cited fraud had been refused by registries. And in follow-up, I got the impression that they were refused because the rationale given was fraud, as opposed to a more detailed description and backup documentation on the nature of the fraud. And that if more details had been produced, it might well have been accepted by the registry. Is that a correct interpretation or not?
And let me take off my council hat for a second and answer from VeriSign, okay?
Okay.
Because obviously we get the predominance of these things. Not that they're huge numbers, but we do. And your assessment, Alan, is correct.
Okay.
If someone just says fraud, we don't allow the exception. If they provide us some detail that's reasonable, we have accepted them.
Okay.
So the reality there is that it becomes too easy and out just to say fraud without some justification. So your assessment is correct based on my conversations with our customer affairs team.
Okay. As the person who initiated this whole thing way back when, my position right now is the concern had been raised that fraud in the general sense was one of the rationales for the AGP, and we believed when we crafted the policy that we were addressing it, and it sounds like we were indeed. Therefore, from my perspective, and it's a personal one, not ALAC, I would see no need for the continued reports.
Thank you. And we're not going to try to answer each of these questions in this session today because of the time, but we will have this on the agenda. So I would like to ask each of you to make sure that you vet these questions with your respective groups so that we can come up with, hopefully, answers from the council to Craig's question in our next meeting in May. Any further questions or comments on that? Thank you very much, Craig, and I'm sorry we weren't able to answer the questions today, but we'll commit to doing that next time. Did I hear someone else?
I just said thank
you. Okay. On item 6.3, Mike Rodenbaum made a motion regarding a VeriSign proposed service, so I'd like to turn the chair over to Stefan.
Thanks, Chuck. Mike, is Mike on the call?
No.
Okay, that makes things a little bit more difficult. The first business really is to ask if someone is ready to second this motion or not. Hearing no one, then I suppose, Chuck, that means I will turn the meeting back over to you, and that discussion will be very short because we cannot proceed with the discussion of a motion that hasn't been seconded.
Thank you very much, Stefan, for doing that. You did a great job on that, and I don't mean that reference to the fact that the motion was died. So going on then to the next agenda item, which is the bear with me a second. Just a reminder that the council motion on the affirmation of commitments, accountability and transparency review team called for the development of a longer-term plan for GNSO endorsements. And so I'd like to turn it over to Bill for a brief status report.
Thank you. I'll be very brief because we have 3 minutes left. Just basically, post-Nairobi, I think nobody was burning with appetite to return to this issue as we had originally anticipated. And because of the next cycle for review teams is not for a while, I think we kind of let things languish, but we are now discussing again how to proceed. Nevertheless, I think we will need to extend the timeline here to May in order to give the drafting team more time to come to a conclusion. Essentially, we're talking about two kinds of approaches, one which I was suggesting would be to try to simplify things as much as possible and eliminate that sixth competitive seat that made everybody crazy and just have the four stakeholder groups each select a name and then have one open competition for an unaffiliated. Alternatively, Tim has suggested another approach, which is that the council basically just checks the names of the people who submitted for basic threshold qualifications and then passes them all on to the selectors to figure it out. So we need to get more discussion going within our team, reach conclusion on one formulation or the other, iron something out. I imagine that will take a couple more weeks now that people are reengaging. So we simply need to extend the timeline. And also the point was made that we might want to do something about encouraging a revision of the call for applicants because of the way the language reads in terms of how the selectors will be operating potentially is not in sync with what the council has been doing or might do. And then finally, I would just say that we need to get more participation. Okay, Tim, if I didn't quite get it right, why don't you explain exactly what you had in mind?
Well, I think the point, the main point that got missed is that that I still propose that it allowed an opportunity for the various stakeholder groups to endorse particular candidates. But that any candidates that did that were vetted for the basic qualifications would still be included in those that we submit, but someone actually have endorsements of the stakeholder groups. That's it.
Okay. Sorry, I missed that element.
Bill,
Bill,
thank you very much. The next council meeting is on the 20th of May, and obviously we have to have things that we're going to take under consideration presented 8 days in advance of that. Is that does that seem realistic that the group could have a recommendation for the council at that point in time?
That would be May 12th, you're saying?
Yes.
And where are we now? Well, it's not entirely up to me, but I'm certainly willing to try if others are, yes.
Okay. And obviously, it's not as if we're under a gun. So if it succeeds, great. If not, then we will do this. Now, we obviously had a motion that said that this should be done, part of a motion that said this should be done by April. Are there any objections on the council to extending the time that the work the drafting team needs to come up with a long-term plan to May or, if needed, June? No objections? So let's just get that in the record then that the council is supportive of that extension. And I hope nobody objects to me handling it that way. It was the quickest way. And I'm trying to respect the time. Going on then to the next agenda item, it's the issue of the report of possible process options for further consideration of the ICM application for the .XXX STLD. Comments are due by 10th of May. There were several people on the list that suggested that we should at least discuss this. The possibility of GNSO comments in this regard. Let me very briefly open this up for discussion, and I would ask you, if you're going to comment, to be brief because we are over time in our meeting. So anybody want to speak to this? I see Tim in the queue. Please raise your hand or speak up if you want to get in the queue. Go ahead, Tim.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, just... my feeling is, and I expressed it on the list, that if we did comment, it should be more at a higher level and not so much specifically to the options that are being offered. It seems to me that the bigger issues involved are the costs of the independent review and the time that it took. Because if that's the typical review, then, you know, this is not a practical process for the average community member to contemplate, even if you consider half or a fourth of the costs and the time that it took. So I think that's something that I could get on board with commenting on. And it's hard to find fault with the board looking at options, given that it took so long and so much time has passed. So many things have changed. I don't necessarily agree with some of the options. It's understandable that they're looking at them. But I think the bigger issues that need to be addressed are, you know, is this a practical process? Does it need to be looked at a little bit closer and not the specifics of .XXX?
Thank you, Tim. David.
Yeah, thanks, Chuck. Yeah, just very briefly, I don't think we should be making a comment in line with what ICM have requested. But if we did decide, I'd probably go along the lines with as Tim was saying as well, if we do make any comment. But if we do, then any comment should be simple and probably, you know, in line with that the GNSO Council are of the view that the independent review panel decision should be followed in order to ensure clarity in the new GTLD process and leave it like that.
Yes, and David, let me just a brief response to that. Yeah. I think it was probably unfortunate that the ICM request was put to the council list because I think it is out of order for either party in a dispute to be the one that's suggesting what comments we put forward. But that aside, I think your comment is correct, and so totally support that. Christina.
I would actually just take that point a little bit farther and say that I think, you know, given that we are at some point going to be getting into the new DCLD process, there will presumably be multiple applicants that are not pleased with the outcome of that process as it applies to them. And I don't want to see the council get in the position of being even having to deal with requests for comments on specific applications. So I would actually suggest that this might be a good opportunity for us to identify the circumstances in which the council will and will not comment on these types of matters. And I very, very, very much would like to make sure that any comment we do is kind of independent of what the specific TLD is. I don't want us to get bogged down in that at all.
Thank you, Christina. Point well taken. We have a practical matter here. It's hard enough for many of us to develop constituency or stakeholder group statements on issues, let alone controversial ones, in a short time period. It's even harder at the council level because we first of all have to each get approval by each of our groups, and then we have to see if we can reach consensus at the council level. We have no more meetings before the 10th. Does anybody see any practical way that we could develop any sort of GNSO position and get it approved by the 10th? I'm open to suggestions, but I don't have ideas in my head that work. So if somebody has one, it's welcome. If somebody comes up with some way of pulling this off that you think might work, please suggest it on the list. In the meantime, since we are over the agenda, if there are no more comments or discussions on this, we will then move on. Is there any other business items that need to be covered in this meeting? Okay, Tim. Okay, I guess Tim took his hand down. Okay.
Chuck?
Yes?
I'm sorry. I was on mute. Yeah, we don't want to take a lot of time here, I realize. I just wanted to raise the issue that's something we should think about, and that is the current AOC review on accountability and transparency. Part E of that term of reference, whatever you want to call it, that was laid out in the affirmation of commitments, calls for a review of the policy development process and, whether to facilitate enhanced cross-community deliberations and effective and timely policy development. My concern is I don't know where the review team intends to go or if they even have an idea yet where they're going, but we just went through a huge timely process of the GNSO review. We've got a modification to the PDP in process. It's not even completely in place yet, but we're getting there. It just seems to me that, a better, a more timely review of that would be, at the next time that the A&T review team meets in 3 years when it's been implemented. We've got some time to see how it works, and then that would be an appropriate time. So just something for us to think about if that's something we might want to consider communicating our feelings in that regard, if we agree, to the review team. But it just seems to be it would be a shame to spend a whole lot of time doing that over again, especially when we don't even have the current modifications in place yet.
I totally agree, Tim, and I think that that probably the review team would recognize that issue on their own. But let me make two suggestions. Number one, each of us in the stakeholder groups have a representative that's on the review team, so I suggest that certainly we communicate that with our representatives if they don't already understand that. And secondly, Tim, if you would like some sort of an action on the part of the the council as a whole to consider doing in this regard. I suggest that you, you know, put that in writing on the list, and then we can take it up at a subsequent meeting. But it is a very good point. Anything else?
Thanks, Chuck.
All right. The last two agenda items are just opportunity for questions on the status updates or the GNSO project status list that's been updated. The links are there. If anybody has any questions on those, I suggest that you please put them on the list, and we will do our best between the chair, vice chairs, and the staff to answer those questions or the chairs of the various working groups. My understanding is that at this particular time, there were reports received from all of the working groups and working teams and drafting teams, so all of those should be the latest information. Please ask questions on the list if you have any. Is there anything else before I adjourn the meeting? Not hearing anything. I thank everyone for your participation. Sorry for going over by 10 minutes, but considering how much we covered and the difficulty of some of the issues, it's actually a pretty good success, I think. So thank you very much. Have a good rest of the week.
Thanks, Chuck.
Bye.
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 Thank you for calling the Digital Replay Service.